All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you are familiar with chapter 12, you know this is the passage of Scripture that Paul deals with him being caught up into the third heaven. And there's a unique pulse about this that goes to the matter of forbearing with one another. We have already developed messages on what forbearing involves. It involves the trinity of graces that we looked at. And it involves forgiveness. And it involves being patient of wrong. In other words, when you feel wronged, how should you deal with that? And we gave two messages of being patient of wrong. We're all wronged in some manner by people that we respect and know and even love. How do we deal with that without becoming bitter and angry and upset and having unfinished business lie in our hearts and then it not get cared for and it just keeps going and going? And then we also looked last week that forbearing has to do with us being reasonable people. And when we act unreasonable and when we act selfish, we are in trouble with God. But now I want us to turn our attention to what the word forbear means in the text that I'm going to read. Matter of fact, let's look down to verse 6 and we'll pick up our word and then we'll slip it underneath a microscope and look at it here just for a moment. For though I would desire to glory, now Paul is speaking about his experience getting caught up in the third heaven. He said, boy, I sure would like to glory in that. I sure would like to brag about my experience. That's what he's saying. I shall not be a fool. Now I want you to underscore the word fool because we're going to deal with that word also. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. Now, there's our key word. It does not, in this passage of Scripture, mean to put up with. This is a different Greek word. It's a different meaning. Notice in the context, you can figure it out if you really will look at the context. Think with me this way. Paul is saying, in my flesh, I'd like to really glory in the fact that I'm the only human being that got caught up into the third heaven. That's one of the things that he is saying here. But I'm not going to be a fool about that. I'm not going to fall for that foolishness. I'm not going to do that. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear. Now here's why he's forbearing. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be. I don't want to brag about what God has allowed me to happen to me so that people will think highly of me. It's a matter of arrogancy and pride. Now, I want you to think with me just for a moment. Let's read that again. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be or that he heareth of me. I'm even concerned about what I say about my experience, how I say it, the spirit in which I say it, and I'm concerned about what others think about that experience, or what they would hear from others who I would tell about that experience, what they would say about that experience. So I'm not trying to lose you here. I want you to get, if you don't get this, then you're going to get lost in the weeds, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to think with me. I'm going to explain it one more time, all right, so that we'll all be on the same page here. Paul is simply saying, in my flesh, I would love to boast about getting caught up in the third heaven. But I am not going to play the part of a fool. I want to be careful about what I say, how I say it, the spirit I say it, because someone's going to hear it and someone's going to tell someone else what they hear. And I'm even concerned about how the hearer would interpret that. So what are we getting out of this? We're getting out of this to forbear means to be cautious. It means to be very, very cautious. Now, this is not on the screen, but I want to give you the definition. The Greek word forbear means to treat one caringly, to think through what you're going to be talking about. It is to be extremely cautious. It's to be tolerant without compromising, to forbear. I am going to be sympathetic without being controlling or bragging or getting my hands around this or pushing myself up to the top. You see, we as human beings, we have a problem in how we like to report our spirituality. We have certain ways in which we like to do it. We want to look good and we want everybody else to look bad, especially those that we're not in fellowship with or those that we're struggling with in a relationship. And what I am saying is that forbearing one another involves us being so sensitive that I want to be sure I say the right thing. I want to be sure that I not only say the right thing, but I say it at the right time. And I want to be careful about my demeanor, my countenance, about the spirit in how I say it. Now, all of that came from verse 6, when we see that Paul is being very cautious about talking about his experience. The Greek word forbear takes on that added meaning in our text. It is connected. Now listen carefully. Do you see what this is tied to? This is tied directly to our character. And our character is tied directly to our testimony. And when our character is not right, our testimony, what comes out of our mouth, when it comes out, how it comes out, the spirit in which we deliver it, all is very important. We all get aggravated with each other. You get aggravated with the one that you love. The one that you love the most, you're usually the shortest with. Boy, that got everybody quiet. You're usually having to say, I'm sorry, I wasn't patient. I raised my voice, or I was frustrated. And I knew my voice said I was frustrated. I had to apologize to my wife recently for that. Of course, you're looking at me as if you always say the very perfect word every time, and you never have to apologize to anybody. But I do. Because it does matter, and it's tied directly to our character and our testimony. And if you're going to lose your testimony because you're going to be proud and arrogant on what you are, who you are, your position that you take, your experience in your Christian life, and you're full of yourself, then you're going to struggle. And you're going to lose people. You're going to lose people that could be very good friends in your life. People that you need in your life, even your loved ones, you will lose them. All because you could not forbear just exactly what this verse is saying. When people get all crossed up with each other, everything they say, they want to bash that person and they want to exalt themselves. All the evil reports, they just want to do it. Paul is saying here, that is not my desire. My desire is not to glory in who I am, what God's allowed me to do. I am not going to be a fool. Rather, I'm going to forbear. I'm going to be extremely cautious about how I talk about it. I'm going to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove about it. Not everybody has to have all your personal information. You don't owe everybody TMI. So what I want to do is I want to walk down through verse 6 and let's just see a few things that will help us come to grips with saying the right thing at the right time with the right spirit. That's what we're dealing with in the message tonight. Look first of all in the A part of verse 6, and I call it Paul's desire. For though I would desire, that word desire is the word intend or rather, though I'd rather glory, my intentions, if my flesh would get involved, would be to glory. And the word glory simply means to boast. Love vaunteth not itself. The old English word vaunt is this word glory. But I'm not going to vaunt myself. I am not going to do that. Paul is saying my flesh would love to glory and boast in it, but I'm not going to. Now notice his determination. I ask you to underscore the word fool, and here's why. It is a very strong word, because I want to tell you now before we get there, okay? I want everybody to look right this way just for a moment. I know some of you are taking notes, but I want you to see me just for a minute. I know that's hard to do. If you don't get this, you're going to look like a fool every time you open your mouth. I want to tell you that up front. Now I'm going to prove this to you from the Bible. Because there are people that I'm speaking to right now that they are very foolish in how they talk to their loved ones, how they say it, when they say it. They are on a rail to derail. And it's wrong. And that's why you struggle in family relationships or friendships, close friendships that you desperately need in your life. So let me deal with this word fool. The word fool is the word for froth, F-R-O-T-H, froth. It's the old English word slabber. Now, we do not use that word. Matter of fact, when I read that word, I said, I do not know what that means. So I looked it up. You know what it means? It means to drool. That's what it means. To slaver. It means to slobber. Salivate. Have you spit running out of your mouth. The word picture is that when we talk before we think, and when we talk with a wrong spirit, what we are really doing, figuratively, we are foaming at the mouth. Figuratively. We're saying all the wrong things with a wrong spirit at the wrong time. And you know what we're doing? We're not fixing any of the issue. You know what we're doing? We're driving the wedge of separation further. Listen, somewhere along life's line, regardless of how old you are listening to this message, you have got to stop foaming at the mouth when you talk to others, especially those that you may differ with. Or else you're going to continue driving a wedge. So when we talk, we better think about what we're going to say. And if you know your button's being pushed, let me give you two words of advice. Are you ready for it? You want me to give it to you in Greek? I give you the Greek words. Zip it. Just don't say anything. If someone provokes you, take the high road. Don't defend yourself if they had the facts wrong. They're wanting to fuss with you. They're wanting to draw you out. Be ahead of their carnality. Walk in the Spirit. Be ahead of that. This word fool is a strong word. And once I realized how strong it was, I can say to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, how you talk is going to determine whether or not you're frothing at the mouth, foaming at the mouth. Matter of fact, the literal translation of the Greek word is foaming at the mouth. And here is a call to us in a simple study on the one another principles of the New Testament. And here we are parked now, for the fifth time, in the vein of this whole matter of us being able to do more than admonish one another, far more than that. But we can forbear because we have the character, because we're led by the Spirit of God, and we can zip it when we need to, and we can be sure we do not engage and get our buttons pushed, and here we go down the road that is only going to, you're going to say things that will crush and hurt. So, let me help you with this a little bit tonight. Jesus tells the parable of a certain rich man in Luke chapter 12. He was boasting. Do you remember it? You'll have to turn there, but let me read it to you. What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow all my fruits. Here's this rich man, rich farmer. And he said, the Bible, I'm quoting from the scriptures now, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the next verse, Jesus speaks. I want you to hear what he has to say. But God said unto him, thou, tell me, fool, you've been foaming at the mouth. You've been boasting. You've been getting your point across. You've been rubbing everybody else's nose in your success. Thou fool, same word. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? So when you die, guess what? It doesn't matter how filled your barns are. Doesn't matter. You see, Paul is saying here, without any doubt, his desire, he suppressed his desire. He wasn't going to be arrogant. He wasn't going to be bragging about his ability or what he's done. He was determined not to be a fool. How many times do you hear pro ball players foam at the mouth? Do you hear them? Sure you do. Talk about how great they are, how wonderful they are. Paul's decision was, but I will forbear. I will be cautious. I will be able to treat in a tolerable way what I'm going to say. Paul wanted to say the right thing at the right time with the right spirit. And I want to encourage you. You have family. You have people you work with every day. You have church family. You have people that's your in-laws. And it matters. Your character and your testimony coupled together with what you say, how you say it, the spirit in which you deliver it. All of it matters. And that's why we study the Word of God like this. Because we're not perfect Christians. You may say, well, Pastor, sometimes I come and it seems like, you know, you follow me around all week and everything I've done wrong, you nail me on it. That's not the issue. Don't look at preaching like that. Look at preaching this way. God, this is your word. I am not a perfect human being. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And you know, if I need anything, I need to learn how to forbear, especially if forbearing involves knowing when to keep my mouth closed. And when I do open it, that I say the right thing at the right time and with the right spirit. Let me show you the last thing about Paul before we have a practical lesson here tonight. Look at Paul's distress in the last part of the verse, or his concern. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I don't want to be the person that everything has to be done my way, or I'm going to pout, throw a fit. I'll even lose a friendship over it. That's dictatorial. That's the wrong spirit. Not only was he concerned about what people thought about him and how he would say it and why he would say it and the spirit in which he delivered it. Not only that, but he, look at the latter part of the, verse 6. Of that he heareth of me, even what other people will hear about me. If you live right, now please listen. If you live right and you do everything you can to keep your relationship right with everyone that God has in your life, you should not be worried about what someone else would say about you when you're not around. The reason you're worried about it is because you're so condescending and condemning toward that same person that you're afraid that person is going to get information out about you that's the truth. And you're more worried about that. I want to tell you something. Can I just love you enough to say, wipe your mouth. You're frothing. It's not working. Now what I want us to do is I want us to walk through these next few verses. And I want you to see Paul's humility. I want you to see how he handled from verse 6 forward how what all he said. Matter of fact, let's go back up to verse 2 and you'll see how humble he began. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. May I say first and foremost, it had been 14 years before he said this and God put it in holy writ. He didn't run out. As soon as he got back from the third heaven, get with all the preachers in town and had a meeting with all the fundamentalists and said, let me tell you where I've been. I've been in heaven. That's not what Paul did. Look in light of what I'm driving home tonight. Paul saying the right thing at the right time with the right spirit. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He's talking about himself, but you wouldn't believe it. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory. He's glorying in Christ. But I will glory in my infirmities. Now, I want you to notice how all this is connected to a very familiar passage of Scripture that we always quote so quickly. But look what Paul is doing to get there. He has humbled himself. It matters what you say, how you say it, when you say it, the spirit in which you say it. It matters. Here he has laid all the foundation. Most scholars, I did not read one scholar that did not believe that Paul was speaking of himself. Not one. Not even liberals. They know he's speaking of himself. Of such an one I will glory, verse 5. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. There's our key word. This is our verse that we launched from. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. I am very cautious, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Notice what he is saying here, folks. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Now we get to that most familiar passage. We usually never equate verses 7 and on in this chapter with him being in the third heaven and him forbearing in his own life. Look at the rest of verse 7. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, are you ready for this? I mentioned it Sunday night in my message. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to practice forbearance. I'm going to be very cautious about what I say, even about my infirmities. You learn pretty quickly those people that you can greet. There's some people you can't say, how you doing? You don't have enough time. They're going to tell you all about their aches and pains. They're going to tell you all about their second cousin, third removed, and their aches and pains. And they're going to talk to you about this person's aches and pains. And, you know, it's gloom and doom. So you have to be careful. Listen, if you're foaming at the mouth so much that people have to be guarded about what they're going to ask you, you got some fixing to do in your life. You have to fix this. Do you want a good relationship? Or do you want a relationship based on us being sympathetic always to you? Because you're always the victim. We got to get bigger than that. We got to grow beyond that. Therefore, I take pleasure. Look at verse 10. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity. In other words, he says, I'm glad that the trials come. Most of us aren't glad that trials come. We'll tell everybody what a horrible trial we're in. Don't know how we're going to make it. This happened, this happened, this happened. I just don't know what we're going to do. And we gladly tell everybody. We're not watching what we say. Even giving a prayer request should be guarded. If you have an ulterior motive behind it, it's wrong. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Do you take pleasure in persecutions? Most people are too busy having a meltdown over it. Even Christians, faithful Christians that come to good churches. In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He gives us the secret to the Christian life, and we read past it so quickly. So how do we know if we're struggling about what we say? Are we saying the right thing at the right time, with the right spirit? How do we know when we're not? Let me give you some instances. If they sting a little bit, it's to help you. You go to the physician, and he says, you know, you got a bad infection. I remember I was in an automobile accident when I was in the service, and I took out the floor shifter of the vehicle, the passenger, because of the thrust of the accident, the passenger slammed into me, broke his collarbone, pushed the door of the vehicle to a V, and when the vehicle finally spun to a stop, my legs were in the car, but the top part of my body was laying on the road. And I remember that ambulance workers, I was in and out consciousness. I remember the ambulance workers, Pat Goodrich, my good friend, he said, check on Rick. And here's what the ambulance worker said in my hearing. Don't worry about him. We're worried about you. And I said, if they're not worried about me, I must be dead. I got to the hospital, and they took care of all my wounds, and we're getting ready to leave the next day. And I had to drive a 500-gallon gasoline truck back 250 miles. And the doctor said this to me. He says, I'm going to give you 2 high-powered penicillin shots. And I'm going to give them to you right in these areas. And I have never felt a shot any stronger than that penicillin. I don't care where they put it. And I had to drive that truck Do you know what an army truck had? You've got nice interior in your van. You have an old hard piece of wood with a little thin piece of foam covered in olive drab burlap. And that truck bumped me all the way home. It was not good. But the medicine he gave me kept me from getting infection and probably getting worse. So what I'm saying is, when we have to take a dose of medicine, don't be a baby. Don't whine and cry about it. So if some of these sting, good. They will be helpful to us. Because I put myself in the mix here. When we always seek to trump what the other person is saying, we might be talking out of turn. When we're always contradicting the other person, care what they say, you're going to have some little twist to make it different. Foaming at the mouth. When we say everything is okay, but we know it is not, and we're talking to others about why it's not, we're a fool. When we will not let our hurt go, so we can always be retaliating, we are not forbearing. We're failing this principle. When we will not let our hurt go, when we always feel everyone does us wrong and we're always the victim in every circumstance, you're not forbearing. When we have unfinished business with family and friends and we know it, when we fail to think before we talk, when we allow our human spirit to lead instead of the Holy Spirit, when we keep things stirred up in our relationships, whether it's family, whether it's the work family, the church family, or wherever it might be, we are not doing right. When every time you talk, you get emotional and everything is much bigger than it really is, your sky is always falling. Sooner or later, people aren't going to believe you. When you are constantly looking for advantage to promote yourself, when we put people on guilt trips in order to control them in the situation, when we fail to see our lack of social graces, all of these, it shows we're not forbearing. If we're not forbearing, it's going to be easy for us to be, instead of faithful Christians, foolish Christians that are talking and out of their mouth comes foolish things. Why would we want to do that? You say, well, Pastor, I never even thought about this verse before. Hey, this is the first time I've preached through all the forbearing or through all the one another principles, and it's the first time I saw this principle. And you know what it did to me? It convicted me. And I'm able to sit down and write 13 statements out because I'm guilty of those 13 statements. And you and I, we have to face the truth about ourselves. If not, there's going to be a part of us that we might be dressed in our Sunday best, but figuratively speaking, we got snot running out of our mouth when we don't. I pastored people, and I watched that slobber come down. I pastored in North Alabama. They chew tobacco, even the women. Snuff, they dip snuff. I've seen it, green stuff coming down both seats. In church. I've seen it. And they don't realize it. And when you're saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, in the wrong spirit, guess what? You got green stuff running out of your mouth. Don't you want people to be able to look at you and say, I can trust that person. That person is a humble person. They love God. They're walking in the Spirit. Sure we do. And we want to be like that. So So I encourage you tonight as your pastor that here's another principle about forbearing hidden and tucked away in this chapter that helps us leave here to put our arms around one another and tell each other how much we love each other and to fix the wrongs in our life with those we have to fix them with and move on in our life to enjoy life. Who wants to go through life acting a fool? None of us. So God help us. God help us to forbear in this area of being cautious in what we say, how we say it, and the spirit in which we say it. We'll just end with that.